Hi, my name is Mike, and I'm one of the ministers here at the church. I'd like to start by thanking you for listening to this sermon online. Before we get started, I'd just like to say that we truly hope that this audio recording will encourage you in your walk with God. But we also hope that it would just be supplemental to your relationship with Jesus, and that it would in no way replace the church that you should be plugged into or the spiritual leaders God has put in your life to shepherd you. So please, enjoy the next 30 minutes or so of this message. I pray it will challenge and uplift you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. God bless.
Good morning, everyone. Good to be with you this morning. Roy and I were just negotiating if we should turn that on. I told him it was up to him, and he said, okay, it's going on then. Good to be with you this morning. Hello again to those of you watching at home. And I want to begin this morning by saying Happy New Year. And I know that seems a little bit belated, but this is my first chance to extend that greeting to all of you. So I wanted to start with that this morning. And I don't know if you noticed this or not, but pretty much right after Christmas was over, New Year's was the next big thing. And so I started to see all of those memes and cartoons about the next year coming. And some of those were rather cheery and optimistic, and others were slightly less so as they looked at the new year coming. But as we look forward to a new year, one of the things that a lot of people do is make their New Year's resolutions. And I was going to ask you for a show of hands of who made a New Year's resolution, but I thought most of us probably aren't going to submit to that very well. But I'm sure there's some of you who did make your New Year's resolution. Some of you have probably already broken some of those. Some of you made them but never actually started them. And there might be a few of you who made them and are still hanging on to them thus far into the new year. But New Year's resolutions, they can really be just about anything. Maybe it's to exercise more or eat less, to pay off debt or save for your retirement, to work towards that promotion or maybe a new job altogether, to write that book, to learn to play that instrument, to finish those home rentals that have been lingering for months or years, or to give up that bad habit that seems to keep nagging you. Or perhaps after surviving 2020 and 2021, your New Year's resolutions are simpler. Things like showering daily or wearing pants that are not sweatpants or pajama pants or yoga pants more than, let's say, twice a week. Maybe that's your New Year's resolution. Or if you use your computer a lot, your New Year's resolution may be 1920 by 1080. And so I don't know if that fits you or not, but we all have our New Year's resolution. Technically, I did make some of those myself. I made some resolutions to change some things and do some things different at the start of the new year. And I say technically I did that, but intentionally I really didn't. Because I make resolutions like daily or weekly, and so some of those were just bound to false around the 1st of January. So that's more what happened than actually intentionally doing something for the new year. And I imagine a lot of you probably do that as well. If you have ever used a phrase like starting tomorrow, or after today, or starting next week, or beginning on Monday, then you likely know what I'm talking about. Maybe you've said things like, starting tomorrow, no more staying up too late. Or starting tomorrow, no more binge watching a full season of something on Netflix at one time. Or starting tomorrow, no more hitting the snooze button more than three times. Or maybe you've said things like, starting next week, I'm going to give up carbs. Or starting next week, I'm going to spend more time with my family. Or starting next week, I'm going to get in those 10,000 steps a day. Now, the upside I find to a new day's resolution is that even if I blow it in a week or two or an hour or two, I don't have to wait another 11 and a half months to start over. I can just go right back to starting tomorrow, I'm going to, and fill in the blank. Now, some of my resolutions do address kind of some of the important things in my life, like health or finances or time or relationships, but others revolve around, let's say, more trivial pursuits. But anyways, as I was thinking about that this week, it got me wondering if my Christian walk might do well to have a resolution or two in it as well. If there were some aspects that I might need to resolve, have some new resolve added to them as we enter 2022. Of course, the problem with that was that as I started thinking about it, I realized that my list very quickly got too long. And I could probably spend my entire allotted time this morning kind of going over the things and listing off the things that as a follower of Jesus, I should probably resolve to do a little bit differently. Things I need to do a little more of, or things that I need to do a little better at, or things that maybe I need to do a little bit less. Situations I need to handle differently, or scenarios that I should probably approach in a different way than I have in the past. And I could spend the next 20 minutes listing all of those things that apply to me and still probably miss some of the things that are at the top of the list for you. So I realize that's not going to work. So maybe I should just kind of hit the high points, the top of the list, the things that are most important and impactful. And I kind of tried to do that, and that whittled the list down to just a handful of things. But eventually, as I kept thinking about it and processing it, I realized that, you know what? I think I can narrow all of this down to just one thing. And the best part of it is that it's just one thing doesn't just work for me. It will work for all of you as well. In fact, it will work for everyone. If we would all just resolve to do this one thing in 2022, my life would be better, your life would be better, our church would be better. In fact, the whole world would be better if we would just follow through on this one simple resolution. In 2022, I'm going to be more like Jesus. And that sounds pretty simple. But the power to change your life and your perspective and your disposition and your relationships and even the people and situations around you lie in this simple resolution. This year, I'm going to be more like Jesus. And that's not a radical new concept. In fact, it's one of the foundational principles of the early church. It's what it was built on. Upon recognizing who Jesus was and what he had done, people were called to follow him. And to become followers of Jesus, it didn't mean just literally walking around him across the Judean countryside like the disciples had just done for 3 years. But it meant to follow his example, to follow his teachings, to follow who he was and strive to be more like Jesus. It's a principle repeated over and over again in New Testament writings, in places like Romans 12, where Paul says, "I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And also in 2 Corinthians 3, Paul says this, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit." You see, my mission as a follower of Jesus, my goal as a follower of Jesus, is to be more like Jesus. And therefore, how I evaluate and assess myself as a follower of Jesus is on whether or not I'm becoming more like Jesus over the course of time. Am I entering 2022 being more like Jesus than I was when I entered 2021? Do people see more of Jesus in me, hear more of Jesus from me, experience more of Jesus with me now than they would have a year ago? That's the question that we as followers of Jesus need to be asking ourselves as we enter a new year. And if your answer to that question is yes, that's great. That's awesome. Keep it up. Build on that as we go into the new year. But if your answer is more of a, I don't know, maybe, or probably not that much, then let's resolve this morning to be able to honestly give a different answer to that question down the road. As I was considering all this week, an old hymn kept popping into my mind. And at first, I just kind of wrote it off as just kind of the predictable case of basic word association. But essentially, I sat down and I read the actual lyrics and considered them. And I realized that the first verse in particular, despite a little bit of old-fashioned language, was really quite spot on. Here's what that first verse says. It begins by saying, I am resolved. I am dedicated to this decision. I am committed to this choice. No longer to linger. I'm not dragging my feet. I'm not sitting on the fence. I'm not putting this off for one more minute. Charmed by the world's delights, distracted by what looks flashy and fun, sidetracked by what seems pleasant and pleasurable, waylaid by what seems entertaining and enjoyable. It says, things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. My attention has been grabbed by something better. My focus is now on something that's even more desirable. And the chorus tells us what that something is. It says, I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. Hasten's one of those old-fashioned words. I had to actually look it up to make sure I understood it properly. It means to be quick to do something or to move or travel hurriedly. When you hear the word hasten, you need to think of the roadrunner because that guy will hasten all day. And it is Jesus that we are running to as fast as possible. In 2022, I want to resolve to hasten to be more like Jesus. Because as followers of Jesus, there is no more important or impactful thing that we can do. Now, assuming that you're with me on that, we can't just leave it there. Because resolutions are only of value if they're actually kept. Aspirations need applications. Or like the vast majority of New Year's resolution, this too will evaporate in the hustle and bustle of ordinary life. If you want to eat healthier, you need a meal plan. If you want to get in shape, you need an exercise plan. And if you want to manage your money better, you need a financial plan. So if we want to be more like Jesus, we're going to need a plan for that as well. If 2022 were a map, then being like Jesus is where we are going. We just need to figure out the how are we going to get there. So this morning I want to suggest three simple things to you that I think might help us on that journey. The first one is interaction. That is to say, if I want to be more like Jesus, I need to spend more time with Jesus. My family has a lot of inside jokes among ourselves. In fact, I could randomly say one phrase or maybe even a single word, and they would all immediately know what I was thinking about. And I was going to give you an example of that this morning, but unbeknownst to me, my kids decided that today we were going to have a no-quoting TV shows or movies challenge. And as one of the worst offenders, I can't afford to lose this early in the day. But perhaps in your family you have your own example of something like that, where immediately everyone knows and what you're thinking. Immediately everyone is instantly on the same page as you. And the more time I spend interacting with my kids and my wife, the better I know them, the better I know how they think, the better I know what's important to them and what they value, the better I understand what they like and enjoy and what they don't, the better I can anticipate their reaction to certain things. And the same goes with people you work with or you go to school with or you go to church with or you're friends with. The more time you spend interacting with people, the more you know them, how they think, what they value, what brings them joy or heartache, and how they react to certain things. So why would we expect our relationship with Jesus to be any different than that? If we want to be more like Jesus, we got to spend more time with Jesus. Because when you spend time with someone, they start to rub off on you. When I went to college in the States, I came back with a slight American accent. When I spent 6 weeks in India, I came back doing this weird little head bob thing that they do when they talk sometimes. Because when you spend time interacting with someone, you get to know them better, and they start to rub off on you. See, the bottom line here is that if I want to become more like Jesus, I got to spend more time interacting with Jesus. And whether that's in the form of interacting with Jesus in prayer or in quiet reflection or in spending time out admiring his creation or in worship or reading his words to me in the Bible or studying his life and teachings in the gospel or spending time with other Christ followers like you here this morning and looking for those reflections of Jesus in the things that you say and do. If I want to be more like Jesus, if I want to know him better, if I want him to rub off on me, I got to spend more time interacting with him. Jesus' standard invitation to people was, come follow me. Come walk beside me. Come hang out with me. Come talk with me. Come be with me. Matthew 11, Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Often when we look at this verse, we kind of key in on the giving you rest and the finding rest for your souls part of the verse, and that's a very applicable to do. But just look what Jesus actually is inviting you to in this verse. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. A yoke is this piece of wood that kind of joins two oxen together and keeps them in close proximity. And often what they'll do is they'll take two oxen and they'll take an old ox and a new ox, or an experienced ox and an inexperienced ox, or a strong ox and a weak ox, so that the one ox can learn from the other ox, can become more like the other ox, can walk more in step with the other ox. Jesus says, come on, get in here. Spend time with me. Learn from me. Interact with me. Be with me. Which brings us to the second part of our plan, which is imitation. If I want to be more like Jesus, I need to start acting more like Jesus. As Paul tells the church in Ephesus, he says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. According to G.I. Joe, knowing is half the battle, but if you only fight half the battle, you're likely not to win. And that's where a lot of us are. For a lot of us, especially those of us who have been following Jesus for a while, knowing is not our greatest weakness. Our biggest problem is not in the knowing, but in the doing. And this is true for everything. You may know very well that you should exercise more and eat less, that you should sleep more and be online less, that you should save more and spend less, that you should listen more and talk less, that you should be at home more and work overtime less, that you should look more and leap less, that you should think first more and speak first less. But knowing only gets you so far. Until you put down that cookie, until you power down the computer, until you stick to a budget, nothing much changes. And at some point, if I want things to be different, I got to start doing things different. If I really want to be more like Jesus, at some point, I'm going to have to start doing things different. And in any given moment, I'm going to have to act like Jesus would act, not like I want to. I'm going to have to say what Jesus would say, not the words that first come to mind. I'm going to have to love people like Jesus loved them, not based on what I think qualifies them to be lovable. I'm going to have to stand up for what Jesus says is right and best, not for what causes the least hassle for me or is most popular with others. I'm going to have to treat people like Jesus treated them, not how I feel like treating them based on how they have treated me. I'm going to have to avoid things that Jesus would stay away from, not indulge what looks appealing. I'm going to have to direct my thoughts to the things Jesus would think about, not on whatever happens to capture my attention. And this is where I think a lot of us get hung up. And it's not a new problem. It's the same thing that James deals with in the first century when he tells the Christians there, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. And I don't know about you, but there are some days where I would make a horrible spokesman for Nike in terms of my imitation of Jesus. If I want to become more like Jesus, I have to deliberately start choosing to act and speak and think like Jesus would. And last, but very far from least, is that we need inspiration. If I want to be more like Jesus, I need to start let Jesus direct me. See, I would do much better at eating healthy if I had a personal dietitian. I'd do much better at exercising regularly if I had a personal trainer. I would do much better at spending less and saving more if I had a personal money manager. I'd do much better at learning guitar if I had a personal instructor. I would do much better at learning another language if I had a personal tutor. I would do much better at maintaining a better sleep schedule if I had a personal anesthetist. I would do much better at just about everything if I had a highly qualified person to help me. Because, and here's the big shocker, sometimes my own resolve isn't enough to get it done. Sometimes my will doesn't have enough power. And Jesus gets it. Jesus understands. He experienced humanity the same way we do, which is why he told his disciples in the garden, "The spirit's willing, but the body's weak." Have you ever experienced that in your life? Sometimes my want to isn't enough to get the job done. One time I returned home from a multi-week mission trip to India, and my wife took me out to the movies the very next night. Any of you who have been on a trip like that probably know where this story is going. So she took me out to this movie because there was a new movie that had just come out, and she was dying to see it. And so she took me to the theater, but a month-long mission trip and 13 and a half hours time change had other plans, so I was sawing logs before the opening credits passed. And in truth, I was a little less excited to see the movie than she was. But even if I had wanted to see it twice as much as she did, it wouldn't have changed the fact, because as soon as the lights dim, I would have passed out all the same. And the same thing sometimes happens with my desire to be more like Jesus. Sometimes my want to just isn't enough. And so, as with so many of my other resolutions, I fall short on this one too. But here's the important thing. If you look at those two verses we looked at the start this morning from Romans 12 and 2 Corinthians 3, they're talking about transformation, but they don't say transform yourself to be this way. They both say that you need to be transformed. Transformation, becoming more like Jesus, is not something you happen to do. It's something that happens to you. In Galatians 5, Paul lists off these things that he calls the fruit of the Spirit. And he gives us this list of stuff that he says is a byproduct of the Spirit working in your life. Evidences that the Spirit is transforming us, that the Spirit is working to produce this fruit in us, and this fruit has flavors like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And if you look at that list and you imagine a person who completely excels at all of those things, you would be looking at Jesus. You see, the Spirit works to transform us to be more like Jesus. And these things, love, joy, peace, and all the others, they are the proof, which I guess makes us the pudding. And once again, it is God who is doing all the work here. It's God who's making it happen. It's God who is making me more like Him. Now, that doesn't negate our first two points. I still have to do my part. But here's the thing. What I do, interacting with Jesus and imitating Jesus, are not what achieve or accomplish my transformation to be more like Jesus. They are what allow my transformation to be more like Jesus. My job is not to accomplish that. My job is to simply not resist and limit it. Because the less time I spend interacting with Jesus, the less effort I put into imitating Jesus, the more I put this bottleneck in God's ability to transform me to be like Jesus. But if I would just decide to pop that cork, if today, starting today, I would resolve to do my part and make myself open to the flow of the Spirit's work in my life, then I will steadily be transformed more and more into the likeness of the one that I follow. I'm going to call our worship team back up here. They're going to lead us in that hymn that I mentioned earlier. And I just want this to be a chance for you in your own heart to make a resolution this morning, to resolve to become more like Jesus in the days and weeks and months ahead. And to fit that sentiment, we've changed the last line of the chorus to say, I will follow thee. Because I think that kind of gets a little more in sync with what we've been talking about today. But perhaps for some of you, that's not where you're at. Perhaps for some of you, what you need is just to make that choice to actually follow in the first place. And so for you, the original words of I will come to thee may be more appropriate. And I encourage you to sing those out loud and in your heart. And if that's where you are at, we would really love to talk to you about that and making that happen as well. So I'll get our team to come and lead us.